This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, February 23rd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Farm bill markup delayed. Proposed farm bill would cut some equip funding. And tariff ruling brings more questions. Farm bill markup delayed. House Ag Committee's farm bill is a victim of the weather forecast. Ahead of a winter storm yesterday, the committee postponed a meeting that was scheduled today to begin debate on the legislation. The debate will now take place next week. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program will lose about $1 billion in budget authority over the next four fiscal years under the Farm Bill draft that now again marked up next week, according to new calculations by the Congressional Budget Office. When adjusting for sequestration, the program will lose roughly $325 million in budget authority for fiscal 27, $495 million in budget authority for FY 28, $118 million in budget authority for FY 29, and $75 million in budget authority for FY 30, that according to CBO estimates. Noah Wicks has more on the issue at AgriPulse.com. Hours after the Supreme Court issued a landmark ruling striking down President Donald Trump's emergency tariffs on Friday, the administration launched its backup plan. Plan B has so far involved imposing 15% global tariffs starting tomorrow, some agriculture carve-outs. The administration also signaling future probes of countries' unfair trade practices, which could be used to justify new tariffs. But questions around what the trade landscape will look like in 2026 certainly abound, and businesses may have to wait several weeks or months until the dust settles for a clearer picture. For refunds, the Supreme Court did not specify how refunds should be handled. It's still not clear whether the administration will set up a program. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told CNN's Dana Bash yesterday it would be up to the lower courts to weigh in on whether refunds are necessary and how they should be handled. International fallout. Well, the new 15% global tariff represents a hike for some countries. The UK, for example, secured a 10% rate as a part of its tariff deal. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer told CBS yesterday that no countries have indicated their deals are off, but countries' responses, they're still unfolding. CNBC reported yesterday that Indian negotiators are postponing a U.S. trip set for this week that to firm up a recent trade deal. The European Union-U.S. deal is also set to face a key parliamentary vote on implementation tomorrow. A senior EU lawmaker is calling for a delay, citing, quote, pure tariff chaos and charged legal basis for the deal. China. 15% global tariff represents a tariff cut on Chinese exports, which were subject to a 20% emergency tariff following Trump's late October deal. Will China adjust its tariff rate on U.S. products? Which countries will get a Section 301 probe? Well, the administration said on Friday it will prioritize countries adopting unfair trade practices to get an unfair leg up on rice and seafood markets. It will also go after manufacturing overcapacity, among other issues. In addition, it says most major trading partners will be covered by the deals. China and Brazil already have ongoing investigations, but who else will be included and who will get a reprieve? That's still up in the air. Global tariff duration? Well, the law used to levy the new 15% tariffs allows the duty to stand for 150 days unless Congress signs off. Whether the administration will let the tariffs lapse, go to Congress, or withdraw the proclamation and draft a new one after 150 days is not clear. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The dairy industry will likely see some shifts in consumption patterns it will need to adapt to in the years ahead, particularly as consumers age. Terrain economist Ben Lane said at USDA's Outlook Forum on Friday. Lane said that once consumers reach about 40 or 41, demand for dairy begins to level off a little bit. He said the dairy industry should start looking beyond cheesy pizza crusts and dipping sauces toward other products like higher protein lattes and fancier cheeses to meet shifts in demand in addition to foreign markets. He said that over the next several years, quote, it's going to be much more about balancing these things and adjusting to these realities and optimizing component production rather than just sheer growth that we've seen over the last 20 years. A coalition of groups is suing the Environmental Protection Agency over its approval of dicamba, seeking a third court order to prevent the herbicide from being used over the top on cotton and soybeans. EPA approved labels February 6th for products from Bayer, Syngenta, and BASF, authorizing use of Xtendimax, Tavium, and Engenia for the 26 and 27 growing seasons. The lawsuit is in the form of a petition to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The groups, including the National Family Farm Coalition and Center for Biological Diversity, said they plan to ask the court to assign their case to the panel that handled previous dicamba litigation. This case is intimately related to the prior litigation, factually, scientifically, and legally, and some of the central questions presented will be determining whether EPA complied with its court prior opinion in order in the new dicamba reapproval, the petition notes. Other plaintiffs are the Pesticide Action and Agroecology Network and the Center for Food Safety. Here's today's final word. Our state folks are exhausted. They're just exhausted with high path avian influenza alone, let alone if another one comes along. So that would be a place for some funding. Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, calling for more funding on animal disease tracking at the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service on the Farm Bill, speaking on this week's AgriPulse open mic. McKinney said further, we really need for them to have more funding so that we can finish our traceability programs, and they have the people that can then help the states do the work. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, February 23rd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.